see all of you here today, and welcome to all of our guests. It's wonderful to have you, and Archie, who's going to be baptized this morning. So what a wonderful day we get to celebrate this sacrament. So as far as announcements go, if you would be so kind as to listen a little more closely than you already do to the choir when I sing today, because you're going to be singing that song. Alright, we'll start to learn a little bit. Lebanon Chamber Chorus is singing tonight, so information is in there if you're interested in that. LWML Bible Study is Tuesday. Anybody is welcome for that. Open Hands Mission to the Blind is going to be Thursday. If you want to help with that, talk to Jeanette or Allison. Trinity T-shirt. If you took a T-shirt, you didn't pay for it. We're going to have to send the collector out. All right. So if you wouldn't mind giving that to Lee, that would be great. Voters meeting is planned for June 28th, and so we'll have that right after the service. For those of you who are attending Sunday school, which I'm sure it's going to be all of you, right? So we're going to, if you'd be so kind as to grab a hymnal and bring it with you to Sunday school after the service, and then after Sunday school, bring the hymnal back. So we're starting something on worship. We're going to look over today some of the history of the way Christians worship, going back to the first century, and I'm going to do some comparisons, so bring those hymnals. Also, big thank you to all who helped with Blessing Babies and Beyond. So it was a wonderful day again to help the needy in our community. And so we had 54 families come through, and that meant 140 children that were served. And that's frankly terrific stuff. All right. With that then, we'll have a moment of silent prayer, and then we'll begin our service. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord,
and you forgave me and forgive my sin.
O Almighty God and merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated and invite the baptismal party. Isn't this a wonderful day having a baptism?
Absolutely. Amen.
Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So, baptism and teaching go hand in hand. In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, baptism now saves you. And so, Archie, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, eight souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea. Yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing the washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all water to be a blessed flood, a lavish washing away of sin in the world. We pray that you would behold Archie according to your boundless mercy and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in him which has been inherited from Adam, in which he himself committed sins, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Here are the Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. So today, his parents, Archie's parents, bring him here to be blessed by Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
By the way, a word to the sponsors. I encourage you, you know, a lot of people will remember Archie's birthday. I encourage you to consider remembering Archie's baptism day. So note this day on your calendar and bring Archie to remembrance of that. So as your job as sponsors, pray for Archie. Pray for his spiritual growth throughout his life. Bring to him the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on his baptismal birthday, remember with gifts or whatever it might be. Okay? The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this point, from this time forth, and even forevermore.
Amen.
Now, we speak words, and I'm going to invite the whole congregation to join in the responsive reading. In light of the faith in which Archie is going to be raised. Do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried, he descended into hell, the third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from thence he will come to judge the living and the dead?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
Okay. Austin? Archie Reed Schulte, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh my, didn't Archie do good? He sure did. By the way, I'm going to give you this cloth. Reminder that we have the righteousness of Jesus after the service. Candle, again, pointing us to Jesus, who is the light of the world, which Archie has received and which he grows in as you nurture him in word, in sacrament, at church. Yes. Well, Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you new birth through water and the Spirit, and has forgiven all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
Amen.
So, make sure you greet the family and the extended family after the service. It's so wonderful. We have little Archie brought into the kingdom of God, filled with the Holy Spirit and enlightened through his gifts. And at this time, we'll continue on page 190 for the Old Testament reading.
Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over every living thing seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and rested for the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God has created and made. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Of their habitation, that they would seek God. And perhaps they might look for him and find him. So he is not far from each one of us. This is the words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Who spoke by the prophets, and
were killed in a colonial project for the rubber trade, and he was made a slave. But he was freed, in part by an American, and to be in an anthropology display at the St. Louis World Fair in 1904. And so Benga was on display as an example of a person on the lower end of the evolutionary hierarchy. Eventually, he was on display in the primate part of the zoo, the primate exhibit at the Bronx Zoo in 1906. Thankfully, some black clergy there protested. One of them said this: "Our race, we think, is depressed enough without exhibiting one of us with the apes. We think we are worthy of being considered human beings with souls." And then he goes on to say, "The Darwinian theory is absolutely opposed to Christianity, and a public demonstration in its favor should not be permitted." Whoa! Yes, I wish we had more of that. But here's an editorial response. It was in the New York Times. "We do not quite understand all the emotion which others are expressing in the matter. It is absurd to make moan over the imagined humiliation and degradation of Benga's is suffering. The pygmies are very low on the human scale, and the suggestion that Benga should be in a school instead of a cage ignores the high probability that school would be a place from which he would draw no advantage whatsoever. The idea that men are all much alike except that they had lack opportunities getting an education out of books is now far out of date." Why is it out of date? Because evolution. Thankfully, there's some compassion on him. There's a person, I believe the one that brought him over from Africa, also sent him to a Virginia Theological Seminary college where he studied English. I had plans to return home and couldn't do it because of World War I and ended up taking his own life. So Benga was part of what was called the human zoos. That became popular in the late 19th century, mid to late 19th century. And I don't think those human zoos, just my opinion, I don't think they could have happened if people were listening to Genesis 1 and 2 instead of listening to that demon called Darwin. What is man? Is he no more than an animal fit for a zoo? Are men of less value simply because of their race or nationality or supposed evolutionary development? Well, we'll answer that today with our text from Genesis. As you know, we're going through the book of Genesis until the end of the year, or until Advent. The title of this sermon is "The Nature and the Function of Man." And the way forward in this sermon, I want to talk about first the nature of man. Secondly, we're going to look at the function of man. And finally, we're going to look at rest for man. But before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your good gifts. Especially today, we thank you and praise you for the baptism of Archie. Bring him into your kingdom, washing him clean, claiming him as your own, embracing him with your love. And Lord, you embrace all of us in Jesus Christ, your Lord. And in that love, you have given us the word. And so, help us, by your Spirit, to give heed to this word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you would be so kind, open your bulletins to the Old Testament reading. Genesis. Let's go ahead and read verse 26 together in just a moment. Genesis 1, 26, and we read, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And aside, Let us make man. We talked about the Trinity last two Sundays. Let us make man. Some people want to say, even confessional Lutherans want to say, well, at times, well, these are angels. Well, there's no angels there. We weren't created in the image of angels. Some people say, well, it's just us. It's a Hebrew grammar thing. But from what I've read from commentators on that, not really. But I do know this, that the same God who inspired the Scriptures is the same God that was there in creation, who is the same God now that we confess as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's how I take the yes. But to the point, looking at the nature of man, we hear that man is created in the image of God, right? And what does that mean? What does it mean? It doesn't mean that the God who is spirit has legs and a lungs and a heart. That's not what it means. And people will often point to things, they'll point to this, whatever we have that the animals don't have, or what we have exceedingly more than them, this is the image of God. For instance, reason. Many people will point to that. It's the reason. But contextually, I want to give you three answers to that, okay? Argue, listen, don't let me lose you. The first one is this. Man rules. Part of the image of God is that Adam and Eve were to be, and all their descendants, kings and queens of this world. Of course, we know the fall. We know that Satan is the god of this world, as the New Testament says. But we were to be vice-regents, right? Co-rulers under God over this planet. That was part of the image of God that comes across in this text, in the context. The image means that God, who rules everything, we were to rule under Him, by the way, which means then stewardship. Right? Because we're vice-regents. We didn't create the earth. We didn't create ourselves. Thus, we don't own it. We don't even own ourselves. We are stewards of this body and this soul. We are stewards of this planet. It's hard, in a fallen world, it's very hard. Very hard to be that kind of steward of our body and soul, spiritually, physically, and of the planet. You don't have to be an environmentalist wacko to know that God has given us this earth and must take care of it. How have you been doing on your stewardship? How have I? That's a good question. That's a good thing to examine. But secondly, when we look at the image of God, that is the nature of man, there's a second element in here. And let's go ahead and look at verse 27 in the text. Let's read it together. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. So that I contend, as others, that in context, this relational facet of humankind is indeed part of the image of God. That God, who in all eternity related to one another in love in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now creates people who go more than just the instinct of an animal, but also consciously, intentionally, binding to one another in relationship, the highest of which is that of marriage of one man, one woman, in holy marriage, till death do us part. That we are created as relational beings, consciously so. A third element of that image, you get it as you go along in Genesis, but even more so in the New Testament, is that we are created as moral creatures. Man is a moral creature. When my kids were very young, we had this great dog, Champ. He was a great dog. And I remember once, I think we were at dinner. Cheryl will remember better. We were at dinner. And Champ got a bunny rabbit. And Champ brought the head of the bunny rabbit to the steps right outside the sliding glass door where we're eating. And for the little children, that didn't go over too well. But Shame wasn't evil. He's a dog. He's going to do what dogs do. Right? If a shark kills a swimmer in the ocean, we don't say that shark is sinning, because sharks do what sharks do. Now, if you have some angry man go in the water with a knife and kill a swimmer, drown him, kill him some, that we say that is depraved, that's murder, that's evil, that is sin, because we are created as moral beings, knowing the difference between right and wrong. We are moral creatures with a sense of morality that has been askew since the fall into sin. Because each one of us has this old Adam, this sinful nature that we cannot escape, except in the work of Christ. And what does the fallen creature do with that morality? Twist it up. It calls white, black, and black, white. It calls good, evil, and evil, good. And it does it to justify our own wants and desires and sin. Are you tracking with me? What do we do with the morality that God has given us? We replace it with something else, and we read the devil in our heads, as Luther would say. Want to hook up? If I want it, I'll do it. Want to steal from Walmart? If I want it, I'll do it. If I want to lie about someone and get at them, break the eighth commandment, if I want it, I'll do it. No. By the way, one of the justifications of sin I remember hearing. No, I'm not by a member. Don't try to guess. You don't know. But it was someone I was talking to, and the person said, well, you know, I talked to God about this. And he's good with it.
Really?
Really? You talked to God about that. You didn't read your Bible. You didn't go to the Word and see what God says about this subject. You prayed to yourself, and you read the devil in your head. Moral creatures. Here, in going to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, it says, and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. So that this being like God, this image of God, this likeness of God, is in being a moral creature. In righteousness and holiness. And by the way, that only comes through Jesus. But it does come through Jesus, right? You have a righteousness and a holiness that is applied to you through faith in Jesus Christ. And thus, you are being renewed in the image of God in righteousness and holiness slowly throughout your life in the work of sanctification until that day in which you will reach the new heavens and the new earth. Until that day you die and go meet your Lord, and on that day of the resurrection, when that body is raised, not as a simple body, but a glorified body. And so, hey, you know, when we Lutherans think of the gospel, we rightly think of this. We think of the centerpiece of the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins. That is, every sin that's going to have to be paid for, Jesus did it. That's what he went to the cross for. Now you can let Jesus keep your sins, or you can choose to take your sins back on yourself and be judged for those sins. But Jesus took them. We receive that in grace. That is the center of the gospel, but the gospel has many elements, and one of the elements is this. You are being renewed through faith in Christ. You are being renewed in that image. And you know what? That is a message of hope. Because life is not always going to be a struggle. We have a destiny that has been pointed out for us, or made for us, through Christ. You know, they're Christian people. We struggle. Hey, we struggle with sins of thought, word, and deed, don't we? We do that, and we do it every day. And some of you, I'm sure, have had struggles that you've really been in battle against for years, maybe even decades. Maybe you even get weary. Lord, I'm just so tired of this. I don't want to do this. Why do I do this, Lord? And some of you experience that, but you've also experienced renewal at the same time. Don't give up. God renews us. Well, God forgives us, number one. But God renews us as well. He's making us into the image of God throughout our years, and that will be finally complete when we meet our God. There is hope for your life, and that's a gospel element. So, the image of God, we were created to rule. We are created relational beings, and we were created as moral beings. And by the way, something else here about the nature of mankind that is this. We were also created as male and female. We were created binary. Binary. God didn't create us with 1,000 different gender identities. That's confusion. You know what that is? That's confusion. That's of the devil. What? Pastor, are you hating people that have gender confusion? Absolutely not. But I do hate the sin and the mental illness that goes along with it. And the people who are not mentally ill who say it's normal. There are two options before us. Somebody has written this. It says, our culture says your psychology is your sexual identity. Let your body be conformed to it. Your psychology is your sexual identity. Let your body be conformed to it. The Bible says your body is your sexual identity. Let your mind be conformed to it. Your body is your sexual identity. And by the way, Jesus loves and Jesus died for people in all sorts of confusions and sins, including gender identity issues, including adultery, including heterosexual sin. Anyways, the nature of man, created in the image of God, and binary, male and female. But let's go on and talk about the function of man. Because if we look at Genesis 1 and 2, and we only see in Genesis 1 and 2 this is about creation, then we're not getting all that is in there, by far. Because it's not only about what God creates, and that God is the creator, but there is something else there that is easily overlooked, that God is creator, gives to his creation certain functions, certain purposes, certain tasks. And then this is where the simple man gets in the way. You know, the simple person. Because we so often don't want to follow into the functions and the purposes that God has put in us in creation. We want our own function. We want to be the little king of our kingdom upon which we stand. But Genesis 1 and 2 tells us the Lord God, the creator of heavens and earth, is not only the creator, but he has given us functions and purposes in life. Bigger than, by the way, what we read in Genesis, there's more to it than that. But what are these functions that we see? Well, one is to actually live out in the image of God. To live out those elements of the image of God. So more specifically, to rule the earth in proper stewardship, to subdue, which means domestication, cultivation, civilization. How about Genesis 1:28? Let's read that. Let's read together. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So a function that God given every creature, including man and woman, male and female, is to be fruitful in marriage. But what do? We abort him. Oh my goodness, I remember one lady at the abortion center meeting her once, and she had already had several abortions. She used abortion as contraceptive. That happened more than once. Or contraception itself. You have young, healthy marriages, young, healthy people who make sure the baby never comes into existence at all because they choose willfully, they choose it, a childless existence in marriage. The function. God has given us function, and it goes beyond this in everything that is said in the Scriptures. But let's talk about rest for man, and we'll wind it up here. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, and let's read those together. But the seventh day God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. God rested, he ceased on the seventh day. So the Old Testament takes that day as? What is that? Sabbath, which is? Saturday. So a day of rest. What was Saturday? What was the Sabbath day? It was a day of rest and holy assembly. So it was a day of rest for the body and a day of rest for the soul. And that ties into the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And so man had his work. Man, male and female. Man had his work. To tend the garden, to rule over the world as vice regent, but man was also to have rest. The 7 days of creation point out that path. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. It would be good for us not to forget. Even though I don't think we're under the same stricture as the Old Testament people, as far as the rights and so forth. We'll get into that in a second. We still need rest. But it's hard to get. If you're a mother with a young child, what rest do you get? Right? It's very hard to get your rest, isn't it? You know, when I was in the Army, man, there were times, no rest at all. When I was at Fort Drum, it was a year of no rest. But rest is something we really need to seek. And not just rest for the body, but also rest for the soul. That's why Christians gather together on Sunday still. It's rest for the soul. It's rest that I receive in the Holy Absolution. It's rest that I receive, each one of us saying that, it's rest that I receive in the Lord's Supper itself. Jesus coming to me with his covenant, with his love, with his forgiveness. It's the rest of holy baptism. It's the rest of prayer and singing and hearing. The Apostle Paul in Colossians addresses this issue, and he says, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, respect of festival, new moon, or Sabbath day. In other words, he was telling the Colossian church, you don't have to be Jewish to be Christian. Why? These things were a mere shadow of what was to come, but the substance belongs in Christ. That is, Christ is our Sabbath rest. How so? Because we rest from self-salvation. We rest. You know, the religion of man is spelled D-O. It's all about what you do to save yourself. And it never ends. The religion of God is spelled D-O-N-E. It's what God has done for you in Jesus and for your salvation. It's done. He has completed the atonement, and it is a gift to you. And there we find our rest. So, consider all that we hear in Genesis chapter 1, even more there. We learn about the nature of man. And we dare not be confused by the confusion of our age on that subject. We learn about the function of man. And you being Christian people, even though you're sinner saints, and that sinner is there, you seek after what God and His purpose is for your life. And we rest. Our Sabbath rest is Jesus Himself. We pray, O Lord God, who made the heavens and the earth, form us into your image. Sanctify our hearts that we would grow to look more like Jesus and less like the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As we deal with strife between nations, ethnic groups, and various colors of humanity, let us not lose sight that we are created in the image of God. Help us to honor the image in each other so that we do not plot evil, theft, murder, mayhem, but rather reach out to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ that they may be saved and brought into the one holy Christian church and renewed in the image. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, help us to be good stewards of what you own. Namely, our own bodies and souls in this world that you have put us in. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given to our church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and for the 100th anniversary of the current campus of our St. Louis Seminary. We pray that you would sustain the faculty and faithfulness, that they may not fall into false doctrine and heresy, but may be faithful in forming pastors and other church workers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we pray for, those in the military, that you would surround them with your favors as shield, guard, and protect them in their dangerous duties, that you would help those, especially Christian soldiers, airmen, Marines, sailors, that you would help them, Lord, to serve honorably. We especially think of Joshua, Alex, Roberta, Caden, Patrick, Clay, James, and Zach. And we pray, Lord, also for our leaders in the Congress at the state level, for Donald, their president, that you would give them all wisdom in looking out for the best for our country. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, give comfort to the sick and the lonely, and to those who mourn, and hear the prayers of all who are in need. Especially we think of Dixie and thank you and praise you, Lord, that she is in such a better place now with her cancer. We also pray for Corey and Candace, Bill McGuire, for our shut-ins, Peggy, Gayleen, Brian, Jeanette, Bill and Helen. You are the Lord who feeds and nourishes us with wisdom. Help us turn to you and them in faith and find our everyone in need answered in your gracious favor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Away.
salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Serve the Lord with